The pasuk I wanted to begin with is a pasuk from Sefer Tehillim, the 89th psalm, which is given an extremely prominent place on Rosh Hashanah. Pasuk says, "Ashrei ha'am yodei srua, Hashem be'or panecha yalechem." And it means literally, "Ashrei" is as happy or praiseworthy as the nation. It's a very important phrase here, yodei srua, that know, thank you, Tobin, that have an understanding of the trua, Hashem, O God, be'or panecha, in the light of your face, yehalechun, which means they will walk. Anybody remember when we say this during the Rosh Hashanah davening? We say right after Tkiyas Shofar, right after Tkiyas Shofar, before Musaf. So there's after laning and the Haftorah, then we have Tkiyas Shofar. This is the first line that the Baal Tokeya says after, on his culminating pasuk on the sound of the shofar.
Since why do you think it's so remarkable? I mean, it just sounds like, yeah, after you blow a shofar, this is the type of line you would say.
So there are a couple of things that I'm very intrigued by in this pasuk.
Resume.
Do you want to raise? You wanted to raise a question? Go ahead, Tobin.
Yodea.
Yeah.
Is to know, to have experienced.
Right.
And it may be a statement of trying to, for us to have the freshness of experience to be at Sinai, as we listen to the Torah, because I was always told that.
Hi, Joshua.
When you blow shofar before Rosh Hashanah, that's a wake up call. But when you blow Rosh Hashanah, you blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, it's Hashem actually speaking to us. And we're responding.
So that's exactly what I'm interested in. So Andrew, just as you walked in, Andrew was asking the question. We had just presented literally one pasuk, a pasuk that we recite after blowing the shofar. And the pasuk is, Ashrei ha'am yodei srua. Praiseworthy, happy are the people who know, understand the trua. Hashem be'or panecha yehalechon. So what intrigues me about this pasuk is three or fourfold. Number one, what does it mean exactly to be yodei srua? Does it mean to know how to blow the shofar as opposed to other people? Other people don't know how to use a French horn or a bugle or a trumpet.
It's like, no, it's probably like we're talking to that, to experience or something like that.
Right, so there's some deeper meaning. That's and just to sharpen this question, is that somehow this is like a national triumph. Ashrei ha'am. Right? I know why we say, you know, Ashrei yoshvei beisachod yalucha sala, because we would say the fact that we sit in batei midrashos and batei knesios is a defining element of our Jewish practice.
So also Ashrei Hamashiach Adonai Elohav.
Exactly. So that
we have the Adonai, the Midos HaRachamim.
That's exactly right. In other words, so those are good examples of where I think it's intuitive why we would say Ashrei, is that thank God that we have God on our side, thank God that we have a Beit Knesset and a Beit Midrash. So something very fundamental here that I'm interested in, that the knowledge or the awareness of Terua makes us unique and special. That's number one. Number two is why Terua, let's say, as opposed to what other sound is very significant in the Torah. We also hear this sound on Rosh Hashanah, the Tkiya, right? So clearly the Pasuk is privileging Terua. That's not an accident.
And not Shvarim.
And not Shvarim. Whatever Shvarim is, we'll have to talk a little bit about that in just a second.
Shvarim is Trua.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
It's kind of funny because we don't really know, but your day is Trua, we don't really know Trua.
It's a Hasidish Trua.
So that's a little ironic.
It sure is.
The broken heart.
And Trua is the one in the middle, right?
So, Trua is a very. Robert said it very well that. We'll come back to what exactly is the Trua in a second. It's certainly some kind of a broken sound. And then the third question is, Hashem be'or panecha yehalechun, like God, in the light of your face we shall walk, which I guess in and of itself is a beautiful sentiment, that the illumination of God's panim, kaviyachol, right? We don't actually believe that God has a corporeal essence, and we discussed that a few years ago at great length when we discussed the Mer Nevuchim, but that the Hashem Ba'or Panacha Yehalechu, but what is the connection between this and the Teruah? It's like, it doesn't seem to relate, and yet this is a very central pasuk.
Okay. And why is it nation? Like, it could have said, happy is the person who knows the Teruah. Like, a bunch of people could know it, but if it doesn't constitute the nation.
Exactly. Like, what makes this like a national feature, right? It's strange. So, and yet this pasuk is like really significant. So Robert began to mention something which is like of great a great import in our discussion, and that is how ironic it is that even though the pasuk says Yodei Trua, like we know the deep secret of the Trua, and yet the truth of the matter is that, well, on the contrary, a Trua is actually shrouded in mystery. And what I mean by that is the following. The Torah, and we're going to take a look at some of these psukim, legislates that on the Torah level, to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you need to hear three truos. Okay, we're going to talk about why you would do a tkiah before and after each trua, but the trua is the main theme of the day. We surround, just like if you had a very important person walking, let's say the president walking, so you have bodyguards, right, on either side. So the trua is actually surrounded by, it's given the escort of a tkiah, what we call a pshuta lefanam, pshuta
aharav. That's what I said before, the trua is the one in the middle.
True, yeah, you are correct, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, so the question is, how do you...
This is your turkey and the turkey sandwich.
This is, if yours is your turkey and the turkey sandwich, this is your peanut butter and the peanut butter sandwich, this is your cheese and the cheese sandwich, whatever's in your sandwich, this is the guy in the middle. So it's really interesting. The Gemara describes that we weren't sure, as a people, what the trua was. So there were three different customs that emerged. And one of them was to do something that the Gemara describes as anacha, kind of like a groaning sound, which we call a shvarim. Then there are other people who did yilula yalil, which is what we call a trua sound, the short ones. Do, 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 do. And then there were people who used to do ginuche ganach plus yilula yalil, what we call today the shvarim trua. And we were so concerned that we should get the trua right that we actually integrated all three, tripling the length of the truos that we do. So we multiplied exponentially from what would have normally been 9 sounds, a trua 3 times, because it says trua 3 times in Torah, each one with its kia before it, its kia after it, that's 9, and ended up getting multiplied 3 times over because we weren't sure how to do the trua. In other words, it both highlights just how critical it was to us to get the trua right, but at the same time highlights just how mysterious and how difficult it is to actually be amongst the Yodei Trua. So I wanted to just begin with a statement of Chazal, very famous medrash of Chazal on this pasuk. And we're going to read it once now, and hopefully we'll come back to it at the end and have a little bit of a deeper access to it. So this is the Medrash in Vayikra. It actually appears in a variety of different places. Ashrei ha'am yodei srua. Happy is the nation, like Josh says, like it's a national characteristic. It's not just, you know, the association or the union of Baalei Tkia. You know, they could form their own union, but no, right? This is a national thing. V'chi'ein umos ha'olam yodin lahariya? Are we the only nation that knows how to make a trua? Right? There are certain special things about the Jewish people, but like, you know, we don't possess unique knowledge of how to use wind instruments. Right? Kama karnos yesh lahen, right? They actually have plenty of horns, right? I don't know who the current occupant of the first chair and bugle or trumpet isn't the New York Philharmonic, but it need not of necessity be a Jew. It very well may not be. Ella, so what does this pasuk mean? What does it mean to be Yodei Srua? Shehin Makirin, somehow they have knowledge, they have a familiarity or an awareness of Lefatos es Boran Bisrua. The Jewish people know how to be Mifate, their creator, specifically with the trua. Again, not the tkiah. It's the theme tonight. Is that what is the trua? What is the essence of the trua? But here Chazal said they know how to seduce. Lefatos means to seduce. It's used in the Torah in the context of if a man is able to seduce a single woman. So what is the halacha? He's to pay a fine. He's supposed to marry her, not really supposed to divorce her, lest she be damaged goods and she won't be able to find a suitable match. But it's just like a seduction. Once we take out the trua, God can hardly resist anymore. And immediately, what has to happen? V'hu omed mikisei hadin l'kisei rachamim, and kaviyachol Hashem is moved from the throne of justice to the throne of mercy. It's just like, you know, you brought home those special flowers or that special perfume or that special whatever it was, and right, the beloved just melts. Like, there's incredible transformation from kisei din to kisei rachamim. Umismalei aleihem rachamim. So Chazal described that Hashem is just filled with this rachamim. Rachamim comes from the language of womb, rechem. God remembers that His love for us is His womb love. V'hofech lahem midas hadin l'midas harachamim imasai b'chodesh hashvi. This is all in the seventh month. So this is like a very visceral, evocative passage in the Medrash about being Yodei Shrua. Try to understand a little bit.
It's so unique. I mean, don't you think they describe God and the Jewish people in this type of relationship quite often?
What's striking to me in particular is the word mifata, seduction. This is a very unusual word.
When you say like love and
certainly rachamim happened, but the notion of pitui, of seduction, is very singular.
Remind me again, it's very famous. It's like a medrash of a man who's knocking at a woman's door, and she's like, "Oh, I have a gown on."
Yeah, in Shir HaShirim, it discusses this. That
I mean, isn't this the same as that?
So that's actually a very beautiful image as well. It says that God came to knock on our door late at night. And we told God, the line apparently used to be, my father would tell me that in his day, when a girl didn't want to say yes to being asked on a date, she used to say, "I'm shampooing my hair." Right. Which I never really understood. But a similar version of that, which Klal Yisrael says, "Tashem, pashatati et kutanti, I already got into my pajamas, echachel b'shana, how can I get dressed?" Basically, you know, get lost, dude. But and that's of course a very very yeah.
But you agree, it's the same genre.
It's certainly right. It's part of the love genre. So this is a very it's the kind of thing that we would associate with Shir HaShirim. But it's very interesting to hear this in the context of the trua. What I want to understand is what is it about the trua that makes it so central as to reach Josh's level of Ashrei Ha'am, and you know what makes it so significant that it triggers this shift from Mikisei Hadin L'Kisei Rachamim, and ultimately in my view is actually the central theme of Rosh Hashanah. Of course, Rosh Hashanah is a complex day with many themes. There's Malchios, there's Zechronos and Shofros, but let's just look at the Psukim in the Torah. Again, we call the day Rosh Hashanah, and we know that it has four identities in Chazal. But I try to argue just very briefly, based on two psukim, is that in the Torah it's actually given one central identity, a very significant identity. So, Howard, do you mind just taking the two psukim for us? This is on the second page. The Torah discusses what we call Rosh Hashanah. It never refers to it as Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's our term. It's a rabbinic term. It appears in the Mishnah and Masechas Rosh Hashanah, but it's not actually the way the Torah describes the day. Mind you, the Torah also doesn't call the day of Yom HaDin either. Sometimes we call it Yom HaDin. The Torah doesn't call it Yom HaDin either. So what does the Torah call it?
V'chodesh ha-shvi, v'chodesh...
Seventh month, first day.
Mikra kodesh yelachem.
So it's a holiday. Mikra kodesh means a day of sanctity.
Kol melechet avodah lo ta'asu.
Certain kinds of labor are prohibited.
Yom trua yelachem.
What kind of day is it? It's the day of trua. The Torah says very clearly, Yom trua. Yom trua yelachem. That is the essential identity of the day. That's what makes that day unique. It is Yom trua. It's not Yom tkiya. It's not Yom shofar. It's certainly not Yom Hadin. It's not even Rosh Hashanah. It's called the Yom Teruah. Hashem calls it Yom Teruah. And likewise, this is in Sefer Vayikra.
Daber el b'nei Yisrael emor. B'chodesh hashvi'i b'chad b'chodesh yelachem shabbaton zichron teruah.
Okay, here a little different. Not Yom Teruah, but
Zichron Teruah.
Right. What does Zichron mean? It's a very hard word to translate precisely, but we'll try our best. Zichron, or what's the shoresh? Let's start there. Zachor, Zecher.
Memory.
So some kind of right, a memory, a memorial, a remembrance, something having to do with the notion of to remember. Right, it's a complicated notion. Scientists are still not exactly sure what it means. There is an area of the brain, people who are familiar with people who suffer from memory loss, there are many different kinds of memory loss. There's an area of the brain where we have different kinds of memories. There's one area of the brain where we have short-term memories, another area of the brain where we have long-term memories. There's another, a third area of the brain where actually we have childhood memories. Then there's a fourth area of the brain where our feelings about those memories are stored. These are all very important topics of research. I don't know if anybody saw a study that came out last month for the Massachusetts Institute of Technology where they were able to reprogram how mice felt about their memories. Which, just to give an example, let's say you scored a touchdown in first grade, you know, and you... that's a memory you have, and you know, in the section of your brain that controls the feelings about your memories, up until now it had been good, but now that you know, the NFL is you know, so besmirched, you know, maybe now you feel differently about it. So people at MIT are measuring. It's a very complicated thing. There's some knowledge of a past event that's being promoted, let's use a crass term, being promoted from the back of our mind to the front of our mind, okay? Something like that, right? That the knowledge is there, but the significance is being amplified.
There's money in that.
What's that?
There's money in that.
There sure is. So what the Torah is saying here is that somehow the Teruah is affiliated with the capacity of Zichron. By the way, this is why Chazal started calling this day Yom HaZikaron. Right? There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah where it says that the Teruah is actually the mechanism for Zikaron. Now, who's remembering is not clear. Are we remembering? God remembering? Or maybe both. But somehow the Teruah is the powerful element. It's the Yom Teruah. It's a day that, if we celebrate it properly, is defined as the day of Teruah. And it also has some kind of connection to memory. Now, none of this fully makes sense just yet. We have to do a little bit more work to have a sense of it. So here, just what the easiest thing to do is, I put this little chart that you can rip off the third page if it's easier for you, and just follow along this little key here. Okay, so you know, you could have this little table here, and I'm going to read the critical section in the Torah where Tzkiyah and Teruah are defined. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah spends a great deal of time extrapolating the halachos of shofar based on a series of passages, including this one. So the scene is the 10th chapter of the book of Bamidbar, and the Jewish people have not yet fumbled. They will fumble, right? If you're a Jet fan, okay, is anybody, no, you have a Bears fan, you have a Giant fan. Is anybody here a Jet fan? Nobody's here a Jet. Okay, so Mashallah Mahadavar Dhamma. So my father and my brother are Jet fans. They had an uncanny capacity, remember this as a child, to state during the drive that the interception would yet happen. The interception is coming, they would say. It's coming. And then it would invariably come. So there's, the interception has not yet happened. That's where we are. The Meraglim are about to happen, but the interception has not yet. Things are not looking good. Things are actually, if you pay careful attention, sort of falling apart. The cracks are there, right? They're generating pressure on the quarterback. He's starting to make bad decisions. But the ball has not been turned over. Okay, this is where we are. What's that? For those who know how to read it, right? I'm saying, you know. So Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Aseilacha Shtei Chatzotzros Kesef. You should make for yourself two trumpets of silver. Miksha ta'ase osam. Anybody know what miksha is? Right, so that miksha literally means that you make it out of one piece.
Word in English.
Right, and that you don't actually connect it. What you do is you take a large block of silver and you hammer it into form, so that you're not allowed to make the trumpet from different elements and then to, you know, somehow connect them together. But you actually have to. So there are certain things like this that were made in the Torah. The menorah was made this way, the kruvim were made this way, and the chatzotzer. So there are three entities that were made miksha in the Torah, okay? V'hayulacha, and primarily these chatzotzeros will be used l'mikra ha'eda, to gather the people together. Okay, we're going to do a family meeting, we're going to do a national meeting. U'lemasa es hamachanos, and conversely, to get the people to travel. Okay, so now what I call number two. Okay, this is this, just look under number two. V'sak uvahin, now when you do it kia with both of them, the entire people will gather, a national meeting. Okay, nobody's going anywhere, but everybody has to come in for a meeting. Going to do a huddle. And if I do a tkia, not with two trumpets, but with one trumpet, v'im be'achas yiska'u, v'no'adu elecha ha'nesi'im, rashei alfei Yisrael. I'm calling in the captains. Two trumpets, tkia. Everybody's got to come to the meeting. One trumpet, tkia. The leaders have to come. The tkia basically is an announcement. Meeting. Chazal used this description of the kinufia be'alma. Gets people to come together. In other words, it's a sounding. They have a tkia type sound, I think, in Yerushalayim on Erev Shabbos, right? People should just, you're notifying them, right? This is text message. Show up. Shabbos is coming. Okay, but now something else entirely. The Torah says, however, not tkia, but uskatem trua, a trua, v'nasu hamachanos hachonim kedma. Now that means that the people have to start traveling. And in particular, the first group in the east, what we call Degel Machana Yehuda, his two sub-tribes are Yisachar and Zvulun, they start going. Uskatem trua shenis, and then if you hit a second trua, v'nasu hamachanos hachonim temana, trua yisku'u lemasehem. Again, trua. So trua is something entirely different. It's not a meeting, and it's not just like, you know, heads up, or there's something we need to talk about. It's motion. Motion. Now, just bear in mind, it's not just any motion, but it's a very particular mode. Okay, we're going to understand it a little bit better, but we just have to proceed a drop further. So we already know a basic difference between tkiya and trua, but now let's just hammer it home. V'chisavo milchama be'artzechem, when there's war in your land, al hatzar hatzorer eschem, the enemy who oppresses you, v'hare osem b'chatzotzros. Again, v'hare osem means a trua. You make a trua, not a tkiya, you make a trua with the chatzotzros, and what does that function as? V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, so that you will be remembered by God. In other words, God remembers you. V'noshatem oyveichem, so that He will save you. You will be saved from your enemies. The trua. The trua is a war response. Crisis. There's danger. There's an invasion of the land of Israel. You blow the trua, and then what does the trua trigger? Zikaron. So just think back, you know, a few minutes ago we had laid out, right? Remember, Zichron Trua. The Trua has this very powerful capacity to generate a Zichron. And in this instance, what we're saying is that Hashem will remember the Jewish people and save us from possible death. V'chisavon melchama b'artzachem. He could rescue us through this Trua. That's important. Okay. Now, the Tkia. Uveyom simchaschem uvemoadechem. Right, the opposite end of the emotional spectrum, Howard. Right, the day of rejoicing, the day of celebration. Uveroshecha chechem, Rosh Chodesh, various levels of holidays. Uskatem bachatos ros, and then that's an appropriate time for its kia, the triumphant sound. al oloseichem ve'al zivchei shalmeichem vayulachem lizikaron, and then you will be the one who remembers, not v'nizkartem, not you will be remembered, but vayulachem lizikaron, you will remember lifnei alokeichem, as you are in front of God in the Beis HaMikdash, ani Hashem alokeichem, I am Hashem your God. Okay, so if you just consult this chart for a second, let's just think it through. So we know that the tekiah is used to call meetings of various sizes. The tekiah is used in a triumphant mode on celebratory occasions in the context of korbanos. The tru, on the other hand, is used right as a kind of a prayer device in a time of war. V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem v'noshatem oyveichem. And not only that, but the Truah is used, right, to send the Jewish people into motion. Now, does anybody remember? It's not subjective. This is in the Torah. Does anybody remember how the Jewish people traveled? In other words, this idea that the Truah triggers them to travel. But what exactly? How did they know where to go? What were they doing?
Under the Amud Anan.
Okay, very good. Tobin said exactly right. In other words, that they had to literally follow this pillar of cloud, the Torah describes it, into the desert. The cloud would just move, and their responsibility was to follow it. Okay? So you know, get behind the fullback, right? If you're not running behind the fullback, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. That was the idea, and they weren't allowed to stray from there. Al pi Hashem Yisu v'al pi Hashem Yachanu. The whole time. That was their job. So the Truah is part of this construct of being willing to sort of, right, put one's faith and trust in God and say, you're determining the way, we're going with you. We're traveling in your wake. Now, I had to try to develop a common denominator between this use of the Truah and the war use of the Truah. I don't think it's such a leap, right? But this idea that, right, what we're going to do is, the plan is to follow God. Right? What's the strategy? The strategy is, we're going to follow God. We have a problem on our hands. The strategy is, v'hari osem b'chatzos ros, v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem lokechem, v'nizkartem b'yavechem. That the Truah is basically a sound which connotes, right, a certain kind of commitment, either following, we're literally going to physically follow God, or it's a war and we're going to turn our focus and our attention and our hopes and our prayers to God, v'noshatim oyveichem, so that we can be saved. Now, I just wanted to bring into the discussion one other very significant source of Truah. Either you sit on the chart or you just remember it from elsewhere. Where's the other time that the Torah says specifically you have to use the Truah? Right. So what does the Torah say there about the Truah? What is it? Right, it says v'havarta shofar truah b'chodesh hashvi'i, that you make the truah sound in the seventh month of the 50th year, and what happens? Right, ukratem dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha, and v'shavtem ishal achuzaso v'ishal mishpachto tashuvu, which means two things. Number one, let go of your properties, and whatever slaves you have, they're going free. In other words, the entire, right, financial structure of your life, right, an agricultural society, is going free. And you're doing this because God said. Okay? Because that's why are you following the pillar of cloud in the desert? Where the pillar of cloud's going? That's the path that God set. So, 50th year, right, so there's tremendous, the Truah connotes faith, basically. This sense of very deep and abiding faith, whether it's literally, now again, we know the end of the story, so it sounds like, oh, what's the big deal? You just got to follow something in the desert. Has anybody ever camped in the desert in Israel? Hmm. So you actually, it's very hard for me to describe. So there's actually something scary about it. Okay, because you have a limited amount of water, and so you really can't get lost. If you get lost, you're in very big trouble, because you can only last for a certain amount of time, and you know that. So, what you really try to do is, you try not to go anywhere that you don't really know exactly where you're going, and you always want to be in communication. Okay, so that's like a, anybody here has kids in like the summer program, you know, and they take them hiking, like they'll drill them repeatedly, like, you don't wander off on your own, you don't disappear for a minute, right? Because God forbid they start missing a kid and it's like a big desert, and then a few hours go by and you think, okay, what's the big deal? You know, what could happen? Well, they could die of a heat stroke. It's a problem. So when you follow something in the desert, right, it's a very troubling. Now you say, like, okay, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is what keeps on happening in the Torah, right? They keep on not having water and they go crazy. So we read that and we say, God, you know, you know, what's wrong with these people? But I challenge any of us, forget about being 3 days, you'd be 3 hours in the desert without water, you'll start getting very, very nervous, right? This is chaos will ensue. So, again, that requires this very deep faith that, okay, God is, you know, leading us in a safe way. In fact, there's a pasuk in the Navi Yirmiyahu where God says that this is one of the great credits of the Jewish people. We'll say this pasuk on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Zacharti lach chesed ne'urayich. I remember how kind you were to me, says God, when you were in your infancy, in your nascent stages. Ahavas kilulo. Zayich lechtech acharai bamidbar. You followed me in the desert. Be'eretz lo zeruah. And it totally... inhospitable, barren land. Meaning that this was an act of great love and faith. Number one. Number two, so there's a war on, right? This enemy has invaded the land of Israel. V'chisavo milchama b'yartzechem alatzar hatzarer etzchem. This is, right, this we can't imagine, right? This is very fresh in our minds. And you take out the shofar and you make a trua. A trua says a sound of faith.
With the chatzotzrot. You
take out the chatzotzrot and you make a trua, which is a sound of like this. Viniskartem bifnei Hashem Elokeichem v'noshatem oyveichem. And then again, third, the 50th year is coming, right? This property has been a very significant part of your economic portfolio for the last 30 years, right? Take out the shofar, you know, blow your trua, right? Your staff, your land, right? You better, right? Right? So some people in this room, you're not at the firm anymore, right? Now you're on your own. Not so simple. Not so simple. And yet, right, the question is, am I on my own or trua? Am I putting my faith somewhere? So let's just go back. If this model is correct, now I think we can understand a little bit better, again, what the emphasis on Yom Teruah, or Zichron Teruah, and in particular what we're trying to connote when we say Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Teruah. So,
isn't that a whimpering sound like you would a child to a parent?
There's
or
a
animal to its owner?
There are many different connotations. This the Gemara actually does link it to the sound of crying. As a matter of fact, one of the opinions that we have in the Gemara is that even though on the Torah level you only have 9 sounds, the reason that we have a practice of doing 100 only as a minhag, right? You only have to really hear 9 sounds to fulfill your Torah level mitzvah, is because the sister's mother cried 100 times. There are 100 sounds that she cried, or 99 sounds that she cried, developed depending on some versions of the Gemara, but that it's affiliated with what we said before, either sighing or whimpering.
But it's recognized in Rishis Lach Meir Sashem that he's God and we're not and we're dependent. So that sound would be to recognize your...
A childlike relationship, maybe.
That's what it's supposed to be all the time.
A lot of people have developed that idea. I like it very much.
I don't see why you're so excited about true of being a sign of faith. Because Jewish people in a severe situation, they're in the desert, see a cloud of glory, snow, it's God visible to them, they're in the middle of the desert. What choice do they really have?
Actually, the choice that they keep on mentioning, what's the other choice? They actually keep on bringing this up.
Okay. That's
fair. They keep on bringing it up, actually. It's an idea, right? And it's like, you know, it's like the gold standard. it keeps on making its way back into the campaign.
Right, they're like the good old days.
Right.
Okay? We had the good old days.
Right, so that is the alternative, right? And again, the fact that they're even willing to consider it demonstrates, right, it wasn't like, right, because the good old days weren't that good.
Not good. Yeah.
Right. And the fact that they...
And also, like, they really, if they wanted to, like, they could really find their way all the way back there.
Yeah, it's not so hard to navigate.
I think that the fact that they keep on discussing that tells you a lot about how, and again, the fact that they, you know, continue to lack for water and that this is a, you know, perpetual. Okay, so if you just go back to this pasuk for a second, so you try to read this pasuk again and then to go back to the medrash that we started with. So what are we really saying? Ashrei ha'am yodei srua, right? Happy is the nation, right? Josh asks, well, what do you mean the nation, right? I don't know, like, what are there, 10,000 Baalei Tzedakah on the Jewish people? What do you mean the nation? No, it's more than just the sound, but they know the meaning of the Srua, right? That it's a nation that time and again has proven itself capable of, when the chips are down, right, putting a deep and abiding faith in God. Hashem, and then what's now the end of the Pasuk makes a lot more sense. Be'or panacha, right, by the light of your face, yahaleichun, they will walk. In other words, what will determine their path? You. Again, what's that a reference to? The original trua. What happened when the original trua was sounded? They walked. But what did they walk? They walked according to God's light. The amud anan during the day, the amud ha'esh at night. But that sets the precedent of, in so many different ways, when the chips are down, as I like to say, being able to sound the trua, we're going to sound the trua, and that is our national identity, and that is our strategy. So now, just, if you go to the Medrash Chazal here, that's exactly what we said. Like, you know, the Jewish people take out their horn, and they make that, you know, mellifluous, they play that music, right? I don't know if anybody saw the... I made my wife watch it. My father and brother and I, we cried. Did anybody see the Gatorade commercial?
Oh yeah.
You cry? I cried.
I didn't cry.
I cried. So.
I liked it.
Did you make the kids watch it? Set them down.
Yeah.
Set them down.
What is it?
Josh, you want to describe it?
It's the Gatorade commercial. Is Jeter in a limo on the way to the stadium, and he gets out a few blocks away and before a game and mingles with the fans.
And what song is playing?
New York.
My way. So they play at the end of every Yankee game from Sinatra's New York, New York. So it's a sort of a riff on that. His other, in my opinion, his greatest song is My Way. I did it my way, right? The idea being that, you know, you're listening to this music and you're having these associates. So anyway, the Medrash sounds funny, right? It's like, so you play that mellifluous Shvarim Trua, or you play that Trua, and then all of a sudden God is seduced, and, you know, he gets up off the, you know, Kisei Hadin, and he's on the Kisei Ra. What does this mean, right? It's not like, you know, but I think we know what it means. In other words, when we make that Trua sound, right, it brings back these very deep memories, right, these of a nation that is Yodei Trua, a nation that listened to the Trua and, you know, followed God in the desert, and a nation that when war came, they made the Trua and they said, we're with you, you're our guy, and then a nation of people who, you know, 50 years, Yovel comes and, like, we've got to start over and we're just going to have to, you know, put our faith in you that it's going to be okay. And so when God hears the sound of the Trua, so he has a reaction. It's not just like, okay, you know, as the Medrash says, like, what, you know, the other nations don't know how to make... If you brought in some, you know, professional musicians into the shul and you had them listen to the Trua, I guarantee they'd be able to replicate it without too much trouble. You know, they may have to work on it for a few days, but they'd be okay, right? It's not the technical skill that we're talking about. It's that really understand and know what it means to make a Trua and to respond to the Trua. And that's really, just to go one step further, then I know I think Tobin and Howard have a question. Just to hammer this point home for a second, is that's what we mean when we say it's Yom Trua. Why is that the defining element? More than Rosh Hashanah and more than Yom Hadin and even more than Yom Hazeh. It's a Yom Trua. today, it's a day where we return to the very fundamentals, the very basics, and saying, what is our fundamental orientation? And whom do we, in the end of the day, cast our lot? Who's our guy? Right? Again, to use a poor mashal, right? So who's the quarterback? Who's your guy, right? Who do you believe in to call the shots? That's Yom Teruah. That's a day of commitment, the commitment that the Teruah represents. And again, all the themes, right, sort of go out from there. Obviously, the shofar is a very important tool of this, and that's the way that we call basically the feeling that I described is called in Judaism Tamlichuni Aleichem. You say God is the Melech, he's in charge. He's the one that's going to call the shots. And yes, and that will cause him to remember all of the wonderful things that we've done, and Ata Zocher Maasei Olam, and Zchus Avos, and Zocher Habris, and Zacharti Lachasid Nuraich. But it all flows from an understanding of the commitment that the Teruah represents. Zichron Teruah, Yom Teruah. And that's our challenge, is that to get into a very focused space where, again, we can block out a little bit of the noise and just focus in on something very fundamental. And, you know, again, we'll say this pasuk with pride after we blow the shofar. Ashrei ha'am yodei trua, Hashem be'or panecha yehaleichun. We're gonna try to go forward in your light. The people who walk literally to your drum, to your light, and that's sort of our national identity. Yeah, Tobin, you had.